Howdy, folks. Oh yeah, there we go. There's the, I have levels. Yay. Yay, I have levels. Okay. Howdy, folks. This is the ladies from Attempting Murder, and this is our a little bit belated Beltane and the beginning of summer episode, in which our plans had been all along to talk about warriorship. And as a result of kind of the theme of the last probably two or three episodes, we're going to be delving a little bit more into that today. So, as a byproduct of some of the conversations that we've had in the last couple episodes, Willow has sort of had a bit of a, I guess, I don't know, crisis of faith. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, we're going to open up this episode with Willow talking a little bit about that because she's probably not the only person that has run into this wall at some point or other. And then we can kind of dissect it and talk about some other stuff after we're done. So, the floor is yours, Willow.
The past 6 months, so basically since our first episode, which was Samhain, to now to Beltane, I've gone, what's the word I'm looking for? It's been a spiral down into anxiety and not knowing what the fuck is up or down and where I stand with the Morrigan and with what I've always thought was true of her and my relationship to her. I haven't, oh, I haven't been an academic. I don't know a lot about Irish history or the lore surrounding the Morrigan, but what I have held to is that I thought that she was a warrior goddess, and that for me was about my personal emotional battles and also social justice. And specifically after the last episode that we did, where Raven talked about what she had learned in the Koru Discord channel, the conversation that they were having there about the Morrigan not being a warrior goddess at all, flipped me on my ass. And so I've not said anything to anyone until, I don't know, when was it? Yesterday morning? No, Saturday morning. And I was able to vocalize that and get some perspective because, with my own mental health and anxiety issues. Sometimes I ruminate on things and I can't get out of that one hole, that one spot where I get stuck. And I just think that over and over. And so Raven made a comment that, well, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, because I was just going to strip away everything and start over. After, almost 20 years of just having basically my own vision of what I thought the Morrigan was without for what's the word? Without, moving forward on the academia and that sort of more intellectual aspects of who she is, and as we as devotees have learned more about who she is and what how she relates to each of us or as a collective. So really on Saturday I did not want to do this podcast because I was like, I have nothing to say. I'm so defeated right now. I don't think that anything that I have thought at all over the last 20 years is relevant. I don't know. Maybe I'm not called. Maybe I'm coming up with a whole different goddess out of my fucking head. I just didn't know what to think. And so Raven and River gave me the opportunity to talk about that a little bit on today's podcast because, and I thought the same thing, I can't be the only one out there who, you know, faced with new information or contrary information to what I've always believed, I can't be the only one that has that crisis of faith or has rethinks everything about, you know, the last 20 years of my life. So that I want everybody to know that if you are struggling or you have struggled or you may struggle in the future, you're not alone. And it was really hard for me to even come out and acknowledge that I was having that issue because I was feeling very inferior already because I don't have that academic baseline for my practice. And the truth is that it's a process. It's a hopefully a lifelong process of learning. You know, and I've said that in previous episodes, you know, you grow, you evolve. Well, I gotta take my own advice and allow myself to do that and not get stuck in what I may have thought for a long time to be true out of embarrassment of or feeling ashamed of not knowing better at the time.
Hallelujah, sister.
You know, I think like with any long-term relationship, it's not unusual to find out something that you didn't know about someone before, even if you've known them for a long time. Be that a person or a deity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Agreed.
So I think...
I mean,
oh,
and
go ahead.
I think she's... Well, and I think the other thing too is that any deity that we as, you know, neo-pagans or pagans or witches or whatever you, however you want to, whatever label you want to slap on yourself, that we work with, I think we, as we progress in our studies, we are going to be confronted mm-hmm. with, like you said, new information or UPG. Like, how does somebody integrate UPG to a belief system when no one around you that also believes in the same deity or worships the same deity sees it the way you do? It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to make your UPG irrelevant. It just means you need to look, interrogate your UPG against what they're saying. And if it still feels right, it's yours, mm-hmm. right? It's not anyone else's. So that's another part of it is that, you know, that's why I meant you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And then there's the semantics issue with this whole question of whether she is or isn't a were goddess. But we'll get into that later.
I'm thinking, anyway, yeah, that she, you know, she, to me, at this point, without having anything else to go on, except tearing down what I knew, is that she can still be, or maybe is, a warrior's goddess. A goddess of the warriors. Somebody, you know, who is or thinks of themselves as a warrior for because they're in the military or they do martial arts or even social justice or their personal battles. If you want to or ascribe to the idea that you are a warrior, why couldn't you look to her for your strength?
Exactly.
So that's kind of where I'm sitting right now. I did, on Saturday, read two, well, I heavily skimmed. So, like, I read it, but I want to go back and read it again. Two of, the chapters in the Book of the Great Queen by Morpheus,
mm-hmm.
which I had not picked up for a while now because I was trying to go through, you know, chapter one, then chapter two, and I just said, you know what? This is what I need to know right now. So I looked at the chapter called Battle Cultus and the chapter on the Warrior's Initiation. Anybody right. who is struggling with the idea that the Morrigan is not a warrior goddess should read those two chapters because it really helped me formulate a better idea of what I meant and what other people who have more academic leanings see in who she is. And those were very helpful. I am going to read them probably over and over again and journal on them and such. I highly recommend that book, which we've talked about before, but those two chapters, if you're having a crisis of faith in regards to the Morrigan not being a warrior goddess, those are very helpful chapters. And I decided that because I have been saying for 6 months that I was going to, you know, have more boundaries and spend more time for me and, you know, read these books. And I don't make as much time as I should. And I decided that I'm going to make myself lesson plans, and I'm not going to go overboard. I'm not going to overwhelm myself because that's where I get caught up in I'm not going to do anything because I'm too overwhelmed with everything that I need to do.
Right.
I'm just going to make some lesson plans for, like, I don't know, maybe from, say, Beltane to Lunasa, and then Lunasa to Samhain, etc., of a minimum of 1 hour on a Sunday morning over my coffee where I just read a book or do some journaling or whatever. And I can do more than an hour. Usually I sit with my coffee for 2 to 3 hours anyway on a Sunday morning. But I don't want to overwhelm myself and say I got to spend all that time every single Sunday doing it. If I am inspired to do more, then I will.
Right.
But I gotta start somewhere, and I'm not getting anywhere with the, oh, okay, I'm gonna do it, and then I don't feel well, or something comes up, or whatever. I need more structure for myself. So that's what I'm gonna do.
Right. I think we've talked about, too, for those that have listened regularly, we've talked a lot about Annie Orga, and her own sort of journey with this too, because I know that River is also familiar with her and her YouTube channel. And she talks a great deal about the importance of daily spiritual practice, or at least some form of structured spiritual practice. I think when we're struggling, we often forget that that's like our lifeline. That's like our anchor. If everything else falls away. You think about it. Well, when's the last time I did something like spiritual for myself? And almost always that's like the thing that you've done the least mm-hmm. in the time that you felt the worst.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you can get back to that, like that alone will probably help you feel a lot better, I would think. I know that when, for me, that's been a big thing. And it's funny because I don't do much practice stuff. But since we started this, I've found issues that have done a lot to like tangle up my feet and keep me from, and I mean feet metaphorically, mm-hmm. but tangle me up and keep me from inaction that I've had to deal with like on an intellectual level, like to interrogate things about my lack of direction or my feelings of being an imposter. Or a number of other things that family of origin issues and even some leftover stuff from my own divorce, which I think, you know, you guys, I mean, I've talked to you both about, like, there's been stuff that's been like, I know I'm doing work, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So I don't feel like I have to be like doing this or that all the time because I don't feel terrible about where I'm at spiritually, really. I just am like really aware suddenly that my brain is sort of focused on these potholes in my path that I've been, you know, I've been jumping in and out of or tripping over. And so that's been like kind of my spiritual work since we started this, which is, you know, we're all going to have that. I think all three of us are on our own little kind of specific journey that this podcast and this coming together, the three of us, has had a lot of been a good catalyst for all three of us spiritually.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that, you know, the two of you giving me that space to vocalize what I've been internalizing has really, really helped. In the last 2 days, I just feel so much less weight on my shoulders, and I feel like I have a way forward. And I was actually, I was putting laundry away before we started recording today, and I was listening to Tarot for the Wild Soul, and I was listening to the Monthly Medicine for May, and I know we've mentioned Lindsay Mack's podcast, A Tarot for the Wild Soul, before, and I'm going to plug that again because I thought...
So good.
Yes. And I thought that some of the things that she talked about in there were very true for... I resonated with what she was saying about the month of May, which also happens to be my birthday month. So, mm-hmm. But the whole idea... Well, I don't want to try to even paraphrase her because she's amazing. Just go listen to it. The Monthly Medicine for May.
I think there's something about Pluto being in retrograde. Is that right? For like the next, is it 18 months or something stupid?
It's for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like... Right, and I'm not, like, super into astrology, just, like, this is probably my biggest weakness, my real bad witch area is that I'm not, like, super into astrology. But, so that's, like, I think, too, it's sort of interesting, the themes of that, right, because of what Pluto represents in terms of our psyche. It's, you know, going to be a lot of shakeup. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like having the tower card stuck in your tarot weekly tarot reading for the next year and a half in some place.
Not that, right? I know anything about that, but yes.
Right, that would in the hermit for everybody, because apparently we're not the only ones. That's like everybody now that we're on COVID. It's like, oh look, I got the hermit again. But
yeah, no shit, tarot cards, thanks.
I have another friend who's a pagan, and she posted an entire page of all the hermit cards and all the decks that she has.
Oh my god!
On Facebook, going, so this has been the thing for a while. Like every reading I do, it's like, well, no kidding, here we are. But I think that's going to be like, I think the Hermit and the Tower and the Wheel of Fortune are going to be like some pretty heavy duty energy type things. We're all going to be rolling with this year for the rest of the year.
And
And
probably part of next year.
which means, yeah, it's a lot of changes and a lot of death. And a lot of rejuvenation energy. I mean, you know, because you can't get without letting go, and you can't let go without getting. You know what I mean? Like, nature abhors a vacuum. So we're going to be in that cycle of transformation and rejuvenation for a while, and it's probably going to throw a lot of things all over the place. I know, right? But it
Pass
is
on
what it
that.
is. Yeah, we'd all like to pass on that. Except you initiated your change, so you just buckle your britches and get ready, okay?
In a way, I think the three of us all did that when we decided to come together and do this podcast. Because if for no other reason, we all knew that it was going to be a transformative experience for each of us in one or five ways or another,
Right.
individually. And I think that I forgot my train of thought. Never mind.
It's all good. It's all good in the hood. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you hit on something, and we've discussed this before, that just all of it feels really like a lot of it was brought together by, I hate to use the word fate, but to some extent that I think a lot of it, my, you know, UPG is that the Morrigan sort of brought the three of us together for a purpose, and that is to support each other through these pretty intense and challenging times in our lives. Like, we needed that support of other females, and needed that support of other females that had similar points of view, spiritually, intellectually, politically, socially. Like, we're all in so much of accord, you know. But at the same time, very different individuals. You know, I am a mom with two grown kids. You know, River is a mom with three small children, and you know, Willow, you've never had any. So like, we have very different, we come at things maybe somewhat different, but we are all headed in the same direction. I think we needed that from our little triad, or I guess if I want to wax literary, it's our quartet, you know. It's sorry, I had to sneak that in there. I was talking with my older son today about the Dark Tower series, and I just love it. It's probably my favorite book series. But anyway, so quartet was in my mind, in my head, in my head. But that, no, you know, war band. We're our own war band. So that's fine. I'm glad that you could talk about it. Well, because I know that you were really, I mean, you'd been increasingly quiet and reticent, and I was worried about you for a couple reasons, and I thought maybe it was just the move and all that, but
Nope, I was avoiding. I was avoiding because I just didn't feel
you're feeling impostery?
yeah, absolutely. And thinking, you know, that I should be so much further along and I should understand all these things about who she is and whatever. I should be more intellectually involved in it. I should be able to say everything in the correct pronunciations, and I was just like beating myself up going, I should just stop because I suck. And that is not true.
No, you don't
And
suck.
everybody comes from a place. And the important thing is, you know, I mean, yeah, you can stop and wallow in it a little bit, but then you gotta get back up and you move forward and you go, what's the plan? What are we going to do? How are we going to make this better or whatever? And I'm sure that some of those feelings that I was having about all of that, you know, are my own traumas of the past and feelings of being an imposter in my own life. And, you know, we could go on about that forever, and we won't, because nobody wants to know about that. But we a lot of us, I'm sure, have felt those things for whatever reason, because we all carry some sort of trauma. Right. So.
Well, and the other part of it is that we're going through a slow moving trauma now.
Yes.
Yeah. Collectively. Mm-hmm.
As a culture, and our relationships are being strained, our own psychological levels of endurance. Some of us are physical endurance, those you know, required workers, those essential people that are out there every day taking a risk of life and limb to make sure that we have food and services that we need, like nursing or fire or the police or the grocery store clerk or the trash guy, the mailbox person, like all these people that are like really risking themselves for all of us. You know what I mean? So everybody's really kind of in a slow motion, extended sort of traumatic event right now, and it's, we have to give ourselves permission to like process that.
Sure.
You know, we really do. So that on top of everything else, and it does give us time, way too much time. We're slowed down, so we're going to think of things that we haven't wanted to think about, and we're going to deal with things we haven't wanted to deal with because we don't have anything else to do.
That is definitely true. When the world slows down, the brain speeds up, let me tell you. Because you're focused inwards more. Because you have time. You don't have anything to, you know, distract you from your own shit. So,
yeah, you're not going to the mall and getting some retail therapy on. Or heading to the bar on the weekends for karaoke. Or, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is. Like, you know, you're actually kind of stuck at home and... there's only so much, you know, Tiger King anyone can watch.
Oh my.
I'm so proud. I'm going to be that person. I feel like those people that would say to me, yeah, well, I haven't watched a single episode of Game of Thrones, and I don't intend to. And I'm feeling it right now going, yeah, and I haven't watched a single episode of Tiger King, and I don't intend to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, I guess.
Right?
I am not on the Tiger King train. Nope.
Right, one of my favorite YouTubers is a true crime, and she's watching it for me because she's doing a whole thing on it, and I'm like, okay, I'm glad I didn't watch it, and she's way more fun than that show would have been, so it's like, it's all good. But anyway, so while we're on the subject, I guess, of this, and that it is supposed to be today's or this episode's theme, beyond, of course, Beltane, of course, is worship. And I think this is super important because some of what Carrie's dealing with is, I think, something we've all, the three of us, have been collectively kind of working our head around. It started with listening to Story Archaeology for me and having the ladies on Story Archaeology just like say that in unison, that the Morrigan's not a war goddess, and me kind of being like, blink, 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 you know, because you can't pick up a book without seeing her emblazoned in, you know, military regalia, or, you know, in a skimpy, you know, Boris Vallejo, you know, chainmail bikini with a spear and a crow on her shoulder. I mean, like, literally, it's like, that's what you get. And so the iconography is so replete with this idea that then to, like, have that slapped on me, I was thrown a little bit for a loop. That's kind of why I got into the conversation I did in that Coro Capoeira group. This is because I'm like, these people should know. I mean, like, and this is from somebody who's been doing this for a really long time, but I suddenly felt like really sheepish. So you're not the only one, Gary. But that conversation was really good because it really came down to that we're warriors and we worship this goddess who represents the reasons, parts of battle, or the reasons why we go to battle, right? Mm-hmm. There was a great conversation, which I wanted to expand upon a little bit, because we just like kind of touched on it last time, which is the idea of frenzy and ecstasy. And that line between the Morrigan and the Dagda, because he is pretty ecstatic dude. You know, he's all about the eating too much and the drinking too much and the sexing too much. And fighting, I mean, he's still a warrior. Like, he still has all those things, of course. And she is frenzy. You know, she's one of his consorts, not the only one. And in his little circle of lovers, she is, you know, the intellectual bardic tradition that warriors enter into, or she kind of resides over that, right? So she's a prophetic for the people, and she, you know, in Nimaine, you know, she flies over the battleground and she gets the warriors' blood pumping, right? And she, mm-hmm. you know, she's that part of that. But it doesn't necessarily mean she's a warrior goddess. Like, she's a warrior, although she is, but she's much more of a poet and kind of a sorceress and a prophet, right? But we're all her little warriors, you know what I mean? We worship her because she gives us that connection to tradition and to sovereignty and the understanding of the necessity for frenzy in battle in order to protect what's ours. And the weak, you know? It took a little while to get to that, but I thought that was great in that discussion. And I know River got a chance to, like, read up on that stuff now. What was your impression of all that?
About my impression of what? Wow.
Your impression of the conversation about the Morrigan and...
I just felt like it was really, what's the word, textured, I guess. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. It does make sense. Because, I mean, she's not as simplistic. It's not like she's, and please don't come after me, Hellenists. She's not Aphrodite.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've always been annoyed by people, like, at least, like, I guess modern neo-pagans trying to, like, put every single god into a very small box. Like, they're the god of X, Y, and Z. Like, that's not every culture's concept of what a deity is. So,
right.
You know, in the Hellenic tradition, that's a little bit more true. Although I would argue not entirely. Or even the Kemetic tradition, but, like, there's lots of cultures where that just doesn't apply. And so us trying to categorize in that way is sort of hobbling ourselves in terms of our relationship and our understanding. So, yeah.
Well, on the other part of it, I think that sometimes gets lost in things, too. And we know this from, like, the geography and the place names in Ireland. Animism, I think, is a really huge part of those really old beliefs, which I don't know that it gets entirely as much play as it ought. So, like, when you think about a battleground, and if there is a fairy hill there, and if that gets named after, you know, whatever war goddess or warrior goddess or warrior god, there's something about that sense of place that also informs, and it depends on where you are. In Ireland, there's all kinds of places that are attributed as sacred to different members of the Tuatha Dé Danann, and more than one in some places, you know what I mean? So, like, you have to also accept that there are regional or animistic ways to come at this too. And so it may not, there is no universality in that it's really about the eye of the beholder, right? And the context. So that's one of the things I think that was really interesting that came out of that conversation. And the other is the perception of what it is or is not to be a warrior, which...
We've discussed that on previous episodes quite a bit.
Yeah. Which is, you know, certainly there's lots of ways to be a warrior. I have a friend that I'm working with, and he's in the Norse tradition, but he has nobody right now to be kind of a spiritual sponsor, and so I'm helping him. And he is a fireman and has very much attracted a healing goddess and a god of warfare, or a titular god in the Norse pantheon. And, you know, part of it is warfare. Part of his stuff is that, but there's also wisdom and some other things. And he said, I never really thought of myself as a warrior. And I said, you know, I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, because you're risking your life for the protection of others, you know, running into a burning building to get out a family, right? And then put out the fire before their entire home is destroyed. That's, to me, that constitutes warriorship for sure.
That's having a very big moment in our collective cultural consciousness.
Yeah.
Which it should be, but like people are exploring it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, fighting a virus, there's no way to fight a virus with guns and swords and spears. It's
right.
A very different kind of fight, but no less real. So, you know, I think if anything, like, this movie is going to make people reconsider, like, what is a fight, what is a battle, what is a warrior.
Right. Did someone, what did the book have to say about some of that, Willow?
One of the main things I took away from that was that, at least for Morpheus, it was like, you know, martial artists and military would be considered warriors and things that are, oh gosh, I'm going to get this so wrong and somebody's going to flame me for it.
You'll be fine.
Social justice or, you know, personal battles are not exactly warriorship. How did she put that? Let me find that. Come back to me on that. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Okay. I think from everything I've gotten from over there, and most of the folks that are in it that are members of the priesthood, because not everyone that's in that Discord is, but the conversations kind of ring the, you know, ride the breath of it, is that, one, you don't necessarily have to be a warrior in that respect anyway, because there is prophecy involved, and poetry that are a part of it. And so there's, you know, being a creator and a witness to warriors and what they do is kind of important as well. And and then the other is that it seems like, you know, social justice, if you get really involved, it is and it does become a form of that. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be all this all the time physical, because it's awfully limiting if you think about it. And I know that
very quickly, like, looking for fights where they're not, or creating fights sort of from scratch.
Right. And sometimes that's also just being a defender.
Yeah. Right.
It made me think about, I watched Princess Mononoke last week. One of the days that I had absolutely no internet because I live in Podunk America. And I thought about the girls, the prostitutes in Irontown, and them being no less fierce or warrior-like than the samurais that were sent to get them out of the city so they could steal the iron there. Well, Lady Yaboshi was off fighting. I know no one cares about this. I'm sorry. Anyway,
Weeb. I love it. Love it.
But at any rate, that's so true. You know, sometimes it is about being the defender, you know, the people that stay home and take care of stuff. Well, the war band is out. It's not like nobody ever thought about that. Oh, the warriors are all out to fight this war. Let's go around their thing and, like, clear out their flank and kill all their women and children. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, I found that section. Sorry.
Oh, did you? No, go good.
Okay, let's hear it. It's talking about, it's a section in the Warriors Initiation, page 392, Finding Our Warriors. And it says, I have this part underlined. It says, as I see it, a warrior is someone who faces personal risk to life and safety on behalf of their community as a dedicated practice or vocation. A warrior is someone who moves toward danger in order to combat that danger on behalf of others. These are, for me, the defining elements of warriorship. We may include members of the armed forces, members of paramilitary and police forces, members of guerrilla, insurrectionary, and revolutionary armed forces. And then she says, I would argue firefighters are warriors as well. In some contexts, medics, activists, and journalists may be appropriate to consider as warriors where they are operating in war zones, hazardous disaster zones, or within violently charged or repressive situations in which they are placing themselves at risk for the sake of a people. Then talking about martial art disciplines represent another orientation towards warriorship. Talking about the combat styles of martial arts practices. It says, paraphrasing here, I have to face people violently attacking me with weapons in practice. But at fighter practice, in a tournament or in a martial arts studio, no one is seeking to kill. And that is a crucial difference. Martial practices teach us the skills of warriorship, courage, clarity under threat, physical skill, and discipline. They constitute warriorship practice, if not the lived experience of full warriorship. And then the next paragraph, I just made a big star next to, which I won't read over the whole thing, but it's talking about the metaphorical forms of warriorship. Recognizing people who fight against difficult and challenging situations, facing spiritual, emotional, or economic adversity for the benefit of others, dedicated activists. She even puts in there, quote, social justice warriors. So I was like, yay!
Right?
But yeah, so that section on finding our warriors is definitely kind of goes over a lot of different ways to be a warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that gets downplayed way too often. Maybe not. Probably not with the people that we interact with on a regular basis, but I can see where there's room for people to get that kind of impression from some folks who talk about this and some people in the pagan community, that you're not a legit warrior unless you're a vet or active duty. And while I totally respect those who are vets and active duty, I also think there are lots of different ways to take risks, and it isn't always, you know, being willing to put on a uniform and fly to a foreign country and, you know, participate in an armed conflict. I don't think that's always, you know, I don't think that should be the definer. So
I agree.
Yeah, and that's herself. Very ableist. And yeah. Among many, many other things.
Yes.
That is absolutely true. I was thinking, because one of the things that Morpheus says is that if you can, you should have some sort of, you know, physical practice, a martial art or, you know, whatever that physical practice would be. But I'm not saying that Morpheus is assuming this, because I think it says to the best of what you're able. Anybody who does say, well, if you are not, you know, active military or whatever, that or learning a martial art, that you're not any kind of warrior, is leaving out a whole lot of people who are in many ways risking for the good of others, or even to overcome things for themselves.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, I am a very fluffy individual these days. And I have my own physical issues that would keep me from, you know, probably being able to do any kind of martial art in a really, what's the word I want? In a very active way. I mean, I could probably try some, but I would not be anybody that would be a force to be reckoned with in a physical sense, for sure. And I don't think that makes me any less a warrior. I'm just a warrior in a different way.
Right.
There's not really room for all of us warriors that way, because who's feeding people? Who's carrying people? There's not, if we're all warriors, then what are we fighting for?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Right. For me, it's, you know, being a social justice warrior, being politically active, being politically educated, that's really important to me. And providing a place, a safe space and succor for those that I know that are struggling. That's, you know what I mean? To be that person. Like, for this young man that I'm mentoring, that's like a big thing. He's got some stuff going on in his personal life that, you know, he needs somebody to like be kind of a cheerleader while he's going through this. Yeah. And he needs that kind of support. But I also know from years of being online now, I tend to, in groups where I am in a mixed age group, I end up being the den mom for all of the LGBTQI kids.
Right.
And I've spent late nights with those, you know, this kid or that kid in, you know, Discord or wherever, Mumble or whatever, and listening to them talk about whatever is going on that's hard for them right now, and try to give them, you know, the support that they don't feel they're getting from their family, or they didn't get from their friends when they came out, or something came up, or whatever it is, you know, and to make sure that the kids and the people that I know in my life and around me have that safe space. I mean, and it meant enough to me that last job I had, I quit, because I couldn't stand to listen to any more transphobic and homophobic commentary from my boss and the people in the kitchen. I could not take anymore.
Right.
I was going to lose my shit. Literally. So, you know, yeah. And if you want to throw down, I'll take you out. Slowly. Slowly, because I'm old, but I'm pretty good with a poppet, some red thread.
Not that we've seen that employed.
No, I never. But, you know? So I think we need to, like, think about that in terms of what we do. Sometimes we devalue what we do as much as we devalue what other people do. Like, when people say, yeah, but I'm just a nurse. Mm-hmm. Oy, right?
Yeah.
I'm
just economic support. I'm not actually a social worker. Oh, I do that to myself right. all the time. But the truth is...
Never mind that you're like the front line and you're the one they talk to when they're crying and they're furious, and they're terrified.
Exactly. Yep. They're very raw.
Yep.
No, lady, I need food stamps. You don't even know. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And you got to be there and help them get plugged into the right services and let them know that it's not a shame issue.
Exactly.
Like, there's just so much of that that also takes that same commitment, and it does fall into those things, like when we look at like the Funnian ideals and how we conduct ourselves. And I think that more than anything, that defines when we make commitments to social justice or commitments to social services or commitments to the military or whatever, is that if we keep those things in mind, that's more than anything what really defines, at least for me, is what is a warrior. Can you keep the code? Mm-hmm. Like, can you be honorable? Can you be honest? Can you be have your heart open to other people? Can you be compassionate, right? Can you be just? Those things are super important. So I think warriorship comes in a lot of ways, and I think we all... it's how we relate to it, and it's if we can keep the Fenian code, and at least it relates to, you know, Morgan. And granted, that code is a little later than her. It's not contextual to the Tuatha per se. It's more of a Finn McCool kind of thing, but I think it speaks well. And the Brehan laws are still, a lot of them, just common sense. Just saying. Like, if your bee stings me, Jordan, I want honey. It seems fair.
Yes.
So, at any rate, I think there's, like we've all said, and just to kind of wrap up that subject, there's just a lot of ways to be a warrior. And I think your UPG should always be the last word on your relationship to the Morrigan and any deity. And what you get from it. And how you see yourself, and if you conduct yourself with honor and truth and justice and compassion and hospitality and all of those other things, I think that's proof enough.
Yes.
In my thinking. 'Cause having all those things and being all those things and trying to uphold that is not easy.
It's not. Something to strive for.
Yep. So Beltane. So what happened? What did everybody do?
Mine did not go as expected because how much of my messy personal life to go into here? Certain parties were not cooperative with the various things that I was doing. So that made it more difficult, but I still took my daughter. I asked all my kids. She's in on a wildflower harvesting walk. We have a little walking trail nearby. And we got all the flowers, forget-me-nots and sweet pea, and there were a few trillium still blooming. Scotch broom, which I'm pretty sure is an invasive species here, but it's really pretty. And she insisted that we needed these giant oak leaves that were the size of
which yes, is funny queen. To me.
Yeah, I was like, she just knows what's up. I don't even tell her why she needs oak leaves. She just knows. And I cooked a big meal. Those were my two big things. I had lots more stuff on my list. It did not pan out, but it felt like I actually made it a significant day, which is nice.
Right.
Nice. What about I had a really down mood day. Which was really a bummer. But it got better in the evening because I said something. And we finally, everybody in the house, we all got together. And Had some drinks and talked some shit and listened to some pagan music, and there were tears and there was laughter, and so that was good. Like, we had a good, I think we had a good time as a family, the family unit that's here, just sharing and caring about each other. And that really, for me, is, you know, a big part of it.
That sounds wonderful.
Didn't leap any candles. We didn't leap any candles, but I don't think we really needed to, because I feel like talking about the stuff that we did and getting some things off our chests that we all needed to, was really, would have served the same purpose as, you know, jumping the bellfire. So it was good. It was really good. I had absinthe for this first time. I am never
It's not
that
good,
again.
Really, unless you like.
It is awful. Yeah. It is just disgusting, and it ruined, like, the whole last half of my last glass of wine, because it's, like, sticks to your tongue, you like, the taste of it. You're like,
The first time I tried it, I was in New Orleans, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so excited, and I'm like, oh, my God, I never want to do that again.
Yeah, no, I'm eating
it's something made from something called fucking wormwood, so I don't know what anyone's expecting when there's, like...
I know, but the thing is, I love Artemisa. I love it so much, but not to drink. Thanks, I'm good. So, I liked it. It tasted... I didn't mind it at first. It's aftertaste. It's kind of weird, and then that it sticks to your mouth, like tequila.
Oh, I love tequila, though. Good tequila.
So it was sort of like, ooh, this isn't hot. I had this really nice French white wine I was drinking, you know, with violets in it. And I'm like, now it tastes real weird because it tastes like licorice, black licorice, and white wine and violets. Sweet. So
as you do, you know.
Yeah, but it was good. So I, you know, tip my hat to the ecstasy part. And I think... that's the thing about Beltane, too, you know? We have the fire and the ecstasy and the letting go and, you know, the welcoming in and all of that. It's my favorite next to Samhain.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Is Beltane for all those reasons. It feels... it didn't feel as alive this year because, like, reasons... COVID for one, but
yeah,
just in general it felt good. It would have been really nice to, like, have been able to spend it with Willow, but it just didn't work out that way.
No, it would have been nice.
Stupid COVID.
I know, damn it, Janet.
Karen, stay home. No one gives a fuck about your hair and nails,
right?
Yeah.
I want to drop something on you guys. You know Whoopi Goldberg's real name? Her first name is Karen.
No.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. Well, she doesn't have the haircut, though, so she's okay.
Yeah. She doesn't have very, very blondes. Very, very textured.
No, but she keeps defending rapists. So.
Yeah, so she's sort of got the beat. She's got the vibe down.
Yeah, let me call the manager. She's got that. So I'm good. That was something that came across my Twitter feed, and I cackled wildly about, because, like, yeah. For about a week, I sent her nothing but horrible things at Whoopi Goldberg on Twitter.
You're terrible. I love it.
You are so poorly behaved.
I am a terrible. I'm terrible. I picked a fight on Beltane too. That was the other thing I did on Facebook with. I did with somebody who was, like, just being really dumb about Trump. I couldn't help myself. And usually I pass these things up, but for whatever reason, there was just so many alt-right dog whistles in their remarks that I foamed at the mouth and then went after them. So I ended up winning.
Wow.
So it was good.
Is there any thought that you wouldn't? I mean, come
sometimes
on.
I give up. Sometimes they give up. When you realize that you're fighting somebody who's completely unarmed.
Right.
That you're going, okay. Yeah, this isn't an honorable fight. I need to walk away before I hurt this person. But and in the end, it worked out okay. So, God, I hit another one over the head with a brick yesterday too for dog whistling. I just called him straight out. So it was. I have a one friend who just the people on his Facebook. I'm like, how do you even survive this? He goes, I keep them so that you and other friends like you have things to do when you're not busy. I'm like, oh my God. And then I have my nurse friend who has to be careful what she says because of her job, sending me just really inflammatory stuff in PM on Facebook about how stupid people are. Because
she wants you to take up the charge.
Yes, she's the one that wants me to run for president, you know. So she's like, she's like, har, 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 har.
She's like but, holding out that piece of steak. And yeah. Holding out the goat and the T-Rex. She's like,
she's like, right? She's like, here, look at this now. Let me hold your beer. Anyway, so what about you? How about you, Willow? What'd you do?
I spent the evening by myself.
Nice.
The 1st of May is actually my poly partner's anniversary with his other partner, my friend and roommate. So they had their anniversary, and I was chilling on my own. I had a half a bottle of Prophecy wine and listened to some music, and I was going to do some journaling and stuff, but that didn't happen, especially after the wine. And then I had some self-love time.
Good.
You know, I mean, little Beltane, what the heck.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for that, like,
great right and symbolism or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Solo right.
Sex positive.
Absolutely.
Solo right. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm down with that. You could tell I was like, that was where my head was for Beltane, because I kept sending Tom Hardy gifts to River.
I know. I was like, this girl's 40 in Maine. It's fine.
He's
I will take Tom Hardy gifts any day. It's fine.
Three different beers and your wine and your absinthe. It doesn't surprise me you were sending those gifts.
Yeah, well, you know, Tom Hardy.
Right. I mean,
I dare anybody, straight or gay, to look at him and not go, swing. I have a mostly super straight, like, serious, like, primal BDSM friend, internet friend from Canada, who when I send him gifts of Tom Hardy, he's like, damn. Like, you know, he's like, damn.
Some
like, yeah, right,
just kind of surpass that barrier.
Yes.
Just, yes. Yeah.
Yep. Christina Hendricks.
Like, ooh, fanning myself.
Not that I'm super straight. I'm a little bent.
You're a little queer.
I don't think that I deserve that label in a good way. I mean, I am not worthy of that label. I'm I don't know what I am. I'm non-judgmental. There we go. I don't care who you are. If you're awesome, I'm probably going to want to sleep with you.
That's my
spoken like a true spoken like a true pansexual.
Well, if you're awesome, that's probably the closest term, yes.
I'm so with it. If you're awesome, I am let down.
Absolutely.
It's good. See, and I'm like, okay, so you're awesome right now, but let's fit the 50-point questionnaire.
Oh, definitely. That's part of it.
Gotta test your ideological purity.
Yes. Have you now, or have you ever voted Republican? This is like, I have a whole list.
Yes.
I've seen some of that list.
Yeah, right? And it's like that. It's I'm in that place.
You're like, just don't even message me. This is where it's at. If you're this,
yeah,
this,
my
or
rules
this,
are
go the fuck away. I am not even joking.
Feminists don't have sex with right to lifers ever. If you do, you're wrong.
Yeah, but see, I wouldn't say that somebody who's a right to lifer is awesome. So it's kind of built
exactly.
in.
There you go. Cancel yourself right.
I mean, they can be okay, but they're not going to be awesome.
Right? We're looking at you, Jonas Brothers.
Ew. I mean, for many reasons, but.
Besides the child molestation part, on my part, I'm like, I know, it's okay. You're probably too tough for these old teeth.
I'm sure all of our listeners love hearing about our predilections, but anyway.
Whatever.
It's part of Beltane.
They get it. God. Anyway, I had lots of great ideas for Beltane that I just didn't follow through on. Part of it was that I went out to check nettles because I was going to do like braised nettles and some other stuff, but my nettles were too short. I'm like, I would be here for 3 hours picking enough to like even try to make a dish out of it. So I think my hillside. And I think my hillside was too shady up until, you know what I mean? Like, we've not had the best weather and it's been on and off cold. Although I hear mushrooms are starting to pop up south of me. So it won't be long that, and I need to go out and do some looking and see if there's any morels to be had. Because that's like the big thing right now here, like for the next probably 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night was like, I think our first night that we were really over 60 overnight, and that's like perfect. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I'm going to make a rhubarb custard pie this weekend, though, because...
That sounds so good.
And my rhubarb totally shot up with the cooler and the wetter.
I can believe it, yeah.
So it's like, ooh. It's like, eat me. So I'm going to get me some. I love that stuff. So that's the plan. I have it. We didn't eat much, though, that day. It was like egg rolls and some other stuff because we were lazy, but...
Egg rolls are full of delicious vegetables. That's very belting. So,
I suppose. Okay. I'll go with that. It didn't feel very festive. Finger food.
I don't understand.
Oh my god. My poor brain is all on the euphemisms. I can't even. It's because of the Beltane talk. And now I'm like, nettles were too short. And...
Oh my.
What was the last thing you just said?
Finger food.
Yeah. Oh my god. And there was like two or three in between, and I'm like trying not to be like.
Oh my god.
Penis jokes.
Oh, penis jokes. Oh, see, yeah, that's how we are around here. Anyway, so our next episode, and I swear, folks, I know it sounds like, well, you know, it's COVID, you guys are home. Why can't you get anything out on time? So, people are like, have kids at home all the time now, 7 days a week. And then there is somebody who like needs to not be online or have headphones on for at least a day because otherwise she's in them all the time. And
there is that.
Yeah, there is that, right? It's like, I realize now, like, Saturday, probably not going to get much attention out of you because it's like, oh, I don't have to be at the computer today? Not going to be!
Exactly.
And I can't blame you for that, so. And I'm dealing with my own shit here. But, and I've been doing some tarot readings, so I've been kind of busy, too, a little bit.
I'm also, but, like, in a really not great situation. So that's also not helping my scholarly results.
But we will be back with you next month. I think the new moon, or like leading up to it, have you seen the happy face moon that's going to be for the new moon next month? There's going to be Mars and Jupiter are going to be arranged in just such a way that I think in the last of the waning, it'll look like a happy face in the sky.
That's adorable.
Let's see here. The new moon is May 22nd.
It'd be like in a few days before that. There should be something. I've seen it all over the internet.
Well, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
It must be true.
Happy moon. I'm just going to look it up, see if I can find it. Really? Oh, come on now. How come this happened? Here we go. Happy Heavens, they're calling it.
Happy Heavens.
This is adorable.
And it's Jupiter and Venus. Oh, sorry, I lied.
There you go. I'm never listening to this podcast again.
Wow. Wow. Harsh. The last time it happened was in 2008.
Oh my god.
It's been a while.
That was a terrible year.
It really was. Well, it all makes sense now. Happy Face Moon is like a bad
omen.
Right.
Ooh. I'm trying to see if there's a date for that thing this year. So we know when it is, but I know I had seen something about it. When is the... No, that's not it. Oh, wait. Oh, shut up, Forbes. You had to poop in my cookie bar? No, there won't be a smiley face in the night sky in May, but something else will make you happy. Oh, now I'm sad.
What else is going to make us happy then? What does Forbes say?
So Forbes, more poor more of the poors will die and the richers will get rich.
That's not even funny. Because, oh, sadness.
No, I know.
Oh my gosh.
What? What is the good news? Yeah, it doesn't say, so it must be implicit that more of the poor will die.
More money for the rich, apparently.
Less useless mouths to feed.
Ugh. I hate when people say that kind of stuff. I know exactly what you mean. It just makes me want to vomit.
Well, I don't know about anybody else. On May 16th, I'm going to go look.
Yeah.
Because maybe I can find one. I don't... Fake news! It's Forbes. Anyway, but we'll be around. Be along with another episode sometime between, you know, this.
And it might actually sound like a real episode instead of like this, but no promises.
Well, you know what? It's Beltane, so we can do what we want.
Yes.
She says something else when she gets going. I don't know what to do with her. Anyway. We're going to be probably going to start getting cracked up here and getting some of our interviews in the can if we can.
Yes.
To start getting ready for our... The sound is just around the corner now.
Oh my gosh.
Don't even say that. Stop it.
Okay. But it will be. So we'll probably be working on some of that. But y'all won't get that till later. But in the meantime, we hope you all have a lovely... Have a lovely summer. We will see you next new moon.
Yes.
Or thereabouts. Until then, blessed be and stuff.
Stay safe, stay healthy, stay home for the love of fuck.
Yes, please stay home. Okay. Bye, folks.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.